Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level two. This is Sports Rage. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bustle, and everybody else in between. I am Gabriel Morenci throwing it down on the Wicked Wednesday edition of the program. It's been a wild Wednesday, to say the least. Sports are back, and it's been the busiest day in recent, busiest weekday in recent memory, in which we have a NASCAR race. Chase Elliott wins the NASCAR race. UFC throwing it down. Fight Island continues. And, of course, the MLS tournament continues, and my misery surrounding the MLS tournament continues. And, oh, great, we have three more games tomorrow, and the MLS is back. Like, you know, it's actually, like I said, I think I'm a masochist. Like, I might as well, literally, I live on the 23rd floor. I might as well, like, go stand on my balcony and just take, like, $1,000, get, like, 10 $100 bills and make it rain. I'll just, like, you know, why not just, it's sort of like, you know, like Peter Griffin. You ever seen on Family Guy when he goes in and he puts $100 down? He walks into a sports book, he puts $100 down. And Buddy goes, oh, who do you want to take, sir? He goes, just keep it. And he turns around and walks out. That's how I feel right now. I should just like throw the money off the balcony and make it rain as opposed to bet on the MLS. But now I'm ready to go again. We're going to dust ourselves off. We're dusting ourselves off. And we've got an early morning MLS game. Atlanta and Cincinnati. All right. And I'll tell you, man. FC Cincinnati are like most teams from Cincinnati. All right. They suck. Although Cincinnati Reds might actually be all right this year. Atlanta seemed kind of disinterested in the first match. Yet, like, really, there's no reason why they can't win this game by a couple of goals. So we're going to break it down to MLS. The sky is falling in Washington. We'll get back into the story about the dude that trademarked all the names and the names that he actually has. And he says that he's willing to give up, but it sounds like their name is the least of their problems. Pop it in. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, level two rolls on. Great job in Master Control, Midtown Manhattan this evening. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. I'm Morenci. The Washington football team has been in the news a lot as of late due to the name change. And now people are wondering what the name is going to be. And there's always obstacles when you change a name. It doesn't mean that it didn't have to be done, but there's always logistics and obstacles. Yet really, this is on Daniel Snyder right now. As Daniel Snyder said years ago, over my dead body, I'll never change the name. Well, you should have actually thought about trademarking some other names, knowing that this day would eventually actually come to pass. Fortunately for you, well, although, as we stated, it seems like right now that their name is the least of their problems right now. And another thing is, does anyone really care what their name is? Like, is anybody tonight, like, is your life affected whatsoever? You know what I mean? Like, listen, I love the Buffalo Bills, right? If the Buffalo Bills change their name, like, I'm not going to start protesting. And, like, how does it affect my life? Like, think about it. Like, if you're hanging on and you're clinging to this, you're clinging to this much, then you know what? Like, I don't know. I think you've got problems. And I think this guy's a psychopath, actually, Martin McCauley. So this guy actually is a big time. He's a big fan of the team. He trademarked a bunch of names, but not to do it. to like sting Dan Snyder one day. He's willing to give up any one of the names that they want for free. He says that he did it to prevent others from copywriting the names. And he also did it because he was making his own memorabilia. He said he started off, he actually trademarked the Washington Pigskins. And he made 100 coffee mugs. And then he just sort of started to grow from there. He applied for so many trademarks in 6 years that he lost count. He's got 47 trademarks, 14 abandoned requests dating back to May 2nd, 2014. The names that he has range from the Washington Sharks, the Washington Pandas, the Washington Warriors. I don't know how he managed to get this, but he trademarked the Washington Senators. Like, how the hell, like, wow, I'm surprised, like, nobody else already owned that. Like, did baseball or, like, you know? Like, you know, like, baseball owns the Expos right now? They own, like, the Expos trademark. Like, they were the last ones to own the Montreal Expos. So, like, they own the Expos logo and name and trademark, so to speak. The Washington Senators. The Washington Senators, it actually has like a real ring to it. The problem is, like, I don't know, it's almost worse being called Redskins than Senators. and no offense. And I do think the name Redskins is offensive, but who the hell wants to be called named after a senator? And also the Washington Senators, it doesn't sound like a football team. It sounds like a baseball team. It doesn't sound like a football team. The Washington Federal sounds like a USFL team or an XFL or something, like sort of, you know, second tier. The Washington Founders, the Washington Natives. I don't think they're going to go with the Natives after all this. The Washington Gladiators. And distinctly, the Washington Football Club. Interesting. WFC. WFC. The Washington Football Club. Actually, you know what? That sounds like a soccer team's name, but it's got a decent ring to it, actually. The Washington Football Club. like I said, doesn't sound like, it sounds like classy. So in other words, they won't use it. It sounds classy. From what I understand, and those are just some of the names. He's actually, I think he's got a couple of the others too. He actually has the patent for the Washington Monuments. That's not a bad name, actually, the Washington Monuments. This guy's on the ball. he's on the ball. The Washington Monuments. He owns the Washington Red Tails, the Washington Veterans, the Washington Red Wolves, and the Washington Warriors. This is one guy that's not Daniel Snyder. And this just sort of highlights, like, how clueless Snyder is. Like, how the hell do you let one dude on? Like, I swear to God, dude, like, you're freaking lucky. Like, because this guy actually went on Twitter because he's getting attacked by fans of the team. And he said, slow down. I'm not, like, even charging him anything. Like, he tweeted them. He said, let me know. What do you want? He said, if I'm an obstacle to any one of these names, let me know and I will drop the patent and give it to you. Like, and like, honestly, like I said, this guy must really love this team. I wouldn't give Dan Snyder anything. Dan Snyder wouldn't give you anything. Why the hell would you give him something? you're going to give them like the team name. I would hold out. Like if they want like the Washington, if they want to call their team the Washington Red Wolves, or the Washington Red Tails, I'd be like, dude, you don't have it. I'd be like, they don't have a choice. They changed their name. You know, they don't really like any of these names. Like, honestly, what are they really going to go with? They're not going with any of this other stuff. All right. When it's all said and done, it's going to be the Washington Warriors. It's going to be the Washington Red Wolves. Or it's going to be the Washington Red Tails. Now, we know they're not going to go with the Red Tails just because they're not going to go from having a racist logo to naming the team after five African-American pilots. That's like over Snyder's dead body as well. Yet, from what we understand, like if the Washington, looks like the Washington Post is about to go Watergate on them right now. And, they have a massive expose coming on the Washington football team's party habits, and not the players, but the organization. As I stated, listen, big time media people who covered his football team have been teasing this all week. They've been teasing this all week. So speaking of teasing, you know, even though we're in the middle of the summer right now, we actually are on the clock as far as football is concerned. And people don't want to hear it. I get it. It seems to be like, you know, you're negative, and how the hell do you know what's going to happen in a couple of months? Well, how do we know what's going to happen in a couple of months? Because it's pretty obvious. Like, as all the virus spikes right now, like, do you think it's going away? Like, remember when they said there's going to be, like, there'll be a second wave? The first wave never went away. Like, you know, there is no second wave. The second wave isn't even here yet. Like, the first wave is getting worse. Like, moving forward, you're going to have flu season, influenza, coronavirus. Corona's going to raise it up a notch a little bit. Yet, a lot of players, like, don't want to play, or they want to delay the start of the season. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think the season is going to be delayed and end up starting in October. We'll hit that and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Level 2. Sports Rage Late Night. Fastest 120 minutes in sports, thanks to Babano and the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, for stepping up and in with us. So we're talking about the National Football League, and you know, they are on the clock right now. And in fact, listen, training camps are supposed to open on July 28th. So we're essentially, you know, we're 2 weeks away from the start of training camp, yet they don't have a deal. I don't think people seem to realize that. Like, I think people think they're just going to play football because you want them to play football, but there's no deal. Like, they've never, and it's not like baseball where like, oh God, like when you hear this, like, oh God, what do you mean there's no deal? They have contracts, but they've never worked anything out. Like, they've never worked out anything. Like, they never worked out how they handled this without fans. What about the contracts? What about the money? How much money, like, are you going to try to screw the players for right now? What happens if a player gets sick? Who's going to pay for it? What happens if a player's career? They haven't figured out any of this, right? Like, there's zero safety plan. The only safety plan is don't exchange jerseys. I will give them credit. I think it's a good idea, the Oakley helmet. Like, basically, a lot of these dudes already wear visors anyways. So, basically, make it a full visor, and they did. I actually thought about this before. You know, we've seen this before. When coronavirus really started to hit, you know, they had all kinds of suits, like, to go out to a, like, rave and stuff like that. And it was basically like a bubble, but you could drink, and it was like a straw. And it was all kinds of, you look like an astronaut, basically. But I when I saw that, I was thinking, I was like, you know what? That's what they need for sports, actually, moving forward. But one thing I've always said about NFL football players is that they're stupid. Okay? Yet, that's not really the case, and it's not really fair. There are a lot of, like, morons and idiots in the National Football League, but there's a lot of smart dudes, too. And what are you going to do? If you're a smart dude and you vote for something in the union, and there's a bunch of morons that don't care, don't know anything, you know, it doesn't mean that you're an idiot. It just means you can't control, like, you know, you can't control everybody's vote. Etc. But NFL players, you know what? I'm seeing they're smarter than, like, I even give them, like, I thought I'm giving them credit for. And we're seeing a lot of players, quite frankly, they don't want to play. And they know that it's not safe to play. And, you know, the New England Patriots, the Houston Texans, Pete Carroll. Now, Pete Carroll is all for, like, delaying the season. And multiple coaches believe that the season should be delayed. And listen, they're not saying the season should be delayed because suddenly they're Anthony Fauci and they care about anybody. They want the season to be delayed because they're not ready to play. I don't want to confuse anybody here. That, oh, you know what, like, Pete Carroll and Sean McVay and everybody are all worried about everybody's safety. No. They're not worried about safety. They're just screwed. There's no preseason. They're not playing a preseason. The NFL players told the owners, we're not playing preseason games. Like, point blank, we're not playing. There's no negotiation about it. Like, we're not negotiating about it. We're not playing preseason game. And now coaches are like, well, what the hell? We haven't had one practice. So think about this for NFL guys. No team has had one practice yet. And here we are right now. It's hard to keep up with the date. What's the date? So it's the 15th. So it's the 15th going on the 16th, depending where you are. 16th East Coast, 15th West Coast. So basically the season starts in like 6.5, 7 weeks. Nobody is practiced. And in fact, think about this. Like, coaches like haven't even met the team yet. Like, Joe Judge has never met a bunch of people on the New York Giants before. And basically, I guess the players like agreed to 3 weeks of practice, like 21 days of practice, a couple of scrimmages. You know, they'll agree to tackle each other in practice for like 10 days or something like that. You know what I mean? And then the season starts. Now, listen, college football has been doing this forever. College football doesn't have a preseason. But, like, I don't know, I'm not sitting here saying all this because, ooh, I'm being doomsday. I'm just telling you, they're not ready to play. And it takes a while to get a professional football team ready to play without mass injuries. So, we you know, you look here, Jonathan Jones of the New England Patriots, cornerback Jonathan Jones says, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you can't socially distance playing football, he says on Twitter. Dante Hightower responds to him, ain't no way. Patriots safety Patrick Chung jumps in, not a damn shot. They are tripping. Not a damn shot. They are tripping. As the days roll past in July, every NFL player is scrolling through Twitter, finding out news about the upcoming season, wondering if there will be a season. So many questions with virtually no answers, the McCourty twins wrote. All 3 weeks removed from a potential start to training camp. Like, basically, NFL players are, I'm seeing this often right now, they're saying that they're finding out about stuff with the NFL on Pro Football Talk. Like, they're finding out on Pro Football Talk about what the NFL's plans are and safety. And in other words, the NFL just doesn't have one. And I just think they're going to run out of time. Now, it doesn't mean I don't think there's going to be a season. I've always believed that they were going to start in October. And they sort of have a plan B that's going to start like October 14th. And I think the Super Bowl, you know, that basically they can pull this off. They need the Super Bowl like before March 21st. I don't know what their reason was. They had like some monetary reason why they needed the Super Bowl, but you know, but it's not a panic that they need the Super Bowl like in, you know, the second week of February or something like that. They can move it around a bit. So it's something to keep your eye on right now, and I would hesitate before pulling the trigger on an NFL season win total. You got to play 16 games. Will they shorten the season? I don't know. You look at college football, they're not playing non-conference games. That is if they even are able to play. Justin Reed of the Houston Texans, who went to Stanford, is actually like a smart dude. So it's not just a dude mouthing off for the sake of mouthing off. Very, very smart dude. He wrote an editorial in the local Houston newspaper in which, same thing, he didn't say, like, we can't play, but he basically stated, we can't start, like, now. Reed played at Stanford, smart guy. Penned, it was an interview, you know, slash editorial on the coronavirus. 23-year-old shared a sentiment that seems to be felt by many across the league. I think it would be beneficial to delay the season at least 2 or 3 weeks. We can answer a lot of questions that us as players, people as far as fans and the coaching staff of procedurally on how the season is going to happen. I think it would be beneficial to delay the season a couple of weeks. I think that would be good. I'm not confident that it's going to start on time, but I am prepared because it is my job. I'll be ready under the scenario if it does happen. I will be prepared for it. Pete Carroll, open to the idea of delaying the season. Miami Dolphins have already prepared a delayed training camp. So in other words, the Dolphins don't think they're opening their training camp next week or in a week and a half. So, like, you know, all this adds up to, I don't know if they're going to be kicking off on time. And then you throw in the fact that they don't have a bubble. You got a bunch of massive dudes and stuff. You know, football isn't baseball. Football isn't like soccer even. There's just so many people on a football team, guys. Like, literally, man, you're going to have hundreds of people and a bunch of fat dudes rolling around on top of each other and coaches. And, it just seems like a recipe for disaster. For me, too, like, football is like the one sport. Fauci talked about that in the past, that football is like the one sport that's like, you know, the hardest to pull off. But it's not just that. Like, they're not playing in a hub. You're going to, you know, the fall, football is going to play through the fall. Like, I don't see how they're going to pull this off. There's just so many freaking obstacles going up against football. So I just wanted to throw it out there. In my own personal opinion, like me personally, I'm not playing any win total bets right now in college football or in pro football. There's too much uncertainty about this. There's too much uncertainty about this. And, you know, players understand, you know, you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they, you know, they're going to lose their best lineman who said it's just not worth risking his life for to play this year. And I know the fans, like people, Lou Holtz was on TV the other day. And listen, Lou Holtz is a great coach, but Lou Holtz is an idiot. All right. And there's a reason why Lou Holtz isn't on TV anymore. But Lou Holtz basically stated that football players, are soldiers in the same way that they stormed Normandy. The same way that soldiers stormed Normandy, that, you know, that football players need to accept it and play for the good of the country. And I'm thinking, that's easy for you to say. You're like, you know what? You're like a broken hip away from the grave, old man. All right, Lou? I'm not taking medical advice from Lou Holtz, I'll tell you that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage late night. I am Renzi. Hot as hell. Hot as hell. I feel like I'm an MLS player in Orlando or something like that right now. The heat wave takes over. So speaking of the Heat, Miami Heat legend Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade deleted a tweet in support of TV host Nick Cannon in the wake of the entertainer being fired for making Annie's Semitic remarks on a recent podcast. And I got to be honest with you, I didn't really know that Nick Cannon, I sort of saw that he got fired, but, there's been so much sports going on. It's nice to have games back, tournaments back, fights back, and everything else in between. And quite frankly, I'm so sick of all this crap. I'm just sick of hearing, I'm sick of hearing about everything. I'm sick of coronavirus. I'm sick of hearing the word black. I'm sick of hearing the word white. I'm sick of hearing the word matter. I'm sick of hearing like the word mask. I'm sick of hearing like virus. I'm sick of everything. And, you know, I've been tuning out, you know, the mainstream world for the most part, just because we're going nowhere with this, right? I mean, like really, you have 30,000 people in Tennessee at a race. Like, yeah, that's a good idea, guys. That's a great idea. You know, there's just so much negativity and stupidity. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, people waste their energy getting mad about things they can't control, and then they don't do anything about the things that they can control. And every day there's like a new daily controversy. So when I saw that Nick Cannon was today's controversy, I just don't really care. But I see, so Nick Cannon, for whatever reason or another, I guess following in DeSean Jackson's footsteps, Nick Cannon decided to talk about various anti-Semitic conspiracy theories during a recent episode of his podcast, Cannon's Class. And he works for Viacom CBS. It's a pretty main, it's as mainstream as it gets. So understandably, they were not pleased by his podcast. So where's Dwayne Wade come in all this? Dwayne Wade tweeted Nick Cannon after he got fired, saying, "We are with you." Followed by a black fist and keep leading. Wade later deleted the tweet and issued a second tweet to explain himself. "I want to clarify my now deleted tweet. I was not supporting or condoning what Nick Cannon specifically said, but I had expressed my support of him owning the content and the brand he helped create." A short time later, he tweeted again, "I was too quick to respond without being fully informed about his hurtful anti-Semitic remarks. And as you all know, I have zero tolerance for any hate speech," says Dwayne Wade. So, listen, I'll tell you what, and why I bring this up, because a lot of people would find themselves sort of under the gun right now if they weren't Dwayne Wade. And I like Dwayne Wade. You know, Dwayne Wade's one of these dudes where, you know, you want to like him and stuff, and you want to think he's cool, but you sort of get the feeling that he's kind of not. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, no, he's cool. It's like, nah, he's kind of not. Like, and to me, like, Dwayne Wade, I've always felt, so when I saw this story about Dwayne Wade, I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. It's the same crap with you always. You always do something, and then after, oh, no, I didn't mean that at all. It's like, you know, the Miami Heat played the Toronto Raptors in the playoffs. During the Canadian national anthem, like, he refused to stop shooting a basketball. Like, he didn't care. And, like, he really didn't care at the time. And then after, oh, I would never do anything so disrespectful as to, like, disrespect the national anthem of another country. It's like, no, you just did do it. What do you mean you would never do it? You just did do it. Right? And I remember, like, his apology was pretty fake. You know, his apology was pretty half-assed and, like, insincere. And I can't help but think, going back to Dirk Nowitzki, when Dirk Nowitzki was sick as hell and they were in the NBA Finals and it was the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks, and the famous video of LeBron and Dwayne Wade laughing at Dirk and, like, mocking his sickness. So it's like, you know, other people would sort of get called out. Like, other people would be like, yeah, he's kind of got a track record of being a douchebag. But there's certain people that they're in that sort of untouchable realm. Like, what do you think would have happened if J.R. Smith tonight? All right, let's say J.R. Smith inside the bubble tonight got involved and said to Nick Cannon on Twitter, "We got your back. We are with you. Keep leading." They would have cut his ass and kicked him out of the bubble, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, think if Cam Newton did this. Think if Cam Newton tweeted tonight at Nick Cannon, "We are with you. Keep leading." Dude, people would want him kicked out of the National Football League. They'd want his head on a platter. "Oh, I told you he's a bad guy. He's an anti-Semite. Even look, you know what I mean?" Dwayne Wade, he really is. He just has that sort of, it rolls off. And you see, listen, he backtracked pretty quickly. We'll give him credit for stepping up and backtracking pretty quickly. But I don't even really know what, like, you mean by it. I want to clarify, I wasn't supporting or condoning what he specifically said. I just expressed my support of him owning the content. So, yeah, I'm not agreeing with the racist stuff that he said on his show, but I'm just supporting the fact that he owns the content to that show. Like, I sort of get, like, so what? Like, Nick Cannon doesn't need CBS? That's what you're saying? Like either way, it's like, you know, either way, it's a bad look for Dwayne Wade. But there's a big double and triple and quadruple standard in the media. And a classic example of this is like, so tonight there was what, they had 30,000 people? You have 30,000 people at a NASCAR race in Tennessee. And, you know, have you really heard anybody in the media cry about it all that much? Not really. You know what I mean? No one. Like, you know, no one's been like, oh, my God, this is like the most insane and criminally negligent idea that I've ever heard in my life. They got 30,000 people there. Yeah, what happened when Trump held a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma? He had 6,000 people there. You tune into the news, and you would have thought it was the biggest health hazard, like, since Jonestown. Like, and that's how they basically described it. People are going there to die. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. They're going to die at the Trump rally. It's like, dude, there were 6,000 people there. And you guys in the media flip out, right? NASCAR rolls in 30,000 people. Nobody says anything. I guess because they dropped the Confederate flag. People, oh, we'll leave them alone. You know what I'm saying? And listen, you guys know, anyone that tunes into the show, I'm far from being Donald Trump's PR flack here. But I'm just stating, I'm pointing out, I thought about that. I'm like, you know, because when I saw 30,000 people, I'm like, are you guys insane? Are you like beyond like insane? You know, like Tennessee, the coronavirus is running rampant as well. Like, so my point is, it's a bad idea whether Donald Trump did it or it was a bad idea if NASCAR does it. But you'll notice people only really got upset about Trump doing it. NASCAR, whatever. Bring 100,000 people. Nobody's going to say anything anyways. Like, you know it's bad, like, when North Carolina, hell, Charlotte. This is only the second time they didn't have the All-Star race in Charlotte, actually. Because even Charlotte was like, yeah, we can't do this here. Like, that's not happening. We're not having fans here. Like, you can race without fans, but we're not having fans. You know, just the criminal negligence that we're seeing right now. And it's another reason why. Like, you know, Sean Doolittle said it best. He basically stated, sports are a reward of a functioning society. You know what I mean? Like, if the country isn't functioning properly, it's hard for sports leagues. Like, you know, and like I said, Doolittle said it best. Like, sports are a product of a functioning society. And I don't think people really seem to, like, I don't know, like the callousness and the ignorance of about how this virus has been dealt with. Like, if you recall, guys, like, basically, there are states, and not pinko commie states, like Texas is on the verge of a lockdown, guys. If things are locked down, it's hard to play sports, okay? Like, if the hospitals are completely full and overwhelmed, it's hard to play sports. Like, that's what happened. That's how all this started in New York. They shut all the arenas, and they said, oh, God, we can't even think about playing sports. Our hospitals are overwhelmed. We got dead bodies on the street everywhere. Like, that, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's like a systematic, like, failure. And, you know, I don't, like, sports can't operate. Like, we'll get through the NBA bubble. We just saw it with the basketball tournament. You're able to pull it off in a bubble, in a hub. But you can't ask athletes to live in a bubble and a hub for the rest of their lives. And I'm telling you, the NFL, they made a big mistake, the NFL. Like, I don't understand why the NFL like didn't have like a serious backup plan of going into a hub. Like I've said it before and I'll say it again, guys. I think the best way of putting this to describe this is, do you really believe that Dana White just went through all this trouble to build Fight Island if he thought that everything was fine in America? Dana White's not like a wallflower. Dana White's like not a pinko commie that's like, if there would be anybody that would say, I'm not scared of the virus, we're holding a card and we're going to have fans, it would be Dana White. You know what I mean? It would be Dana White. Like, if anybody would do this, like, do you think Dana White, like, wants to be in Abu Dhabi? Do you think he wants to spend tens of millions of dollars flying fighters around the world, dealing with tests and all this stuff, unless he freaking had to? And the thing is, Dana White's buddies with Donald Trump. So I almost believe that Dana White knows a hell of a lot more than I think any of us know about this stuff. And I don't think Dana White cares. Like, you know, I don't think Dana White fears the virus all that much, but Dana White fears losing money in his company. And he knows the only way he's going to be able to operate his company properly is if he doesn't do it in the United States of America and in these little bubbles. It's telling, isn't it? It really is. Now, listen, baseball is going to start. And we'll keep our eye on that. You're going to see it's going to have a lot of baseball is going to have a lot of challenges flying around everywhere. I'll tell you that much. A Sports Rage late night. We'll crank out a couple of early morning MLS picks here. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got some golf in the early morning hours. 7 a.m. Eastern is tee off. Cam Stewart likes John Rahm a lot this week. He's really attracted to John Rahm. I'm looking at Xander Shiffley. I think Xander's going to have a nice weekend this weekend. You guys know we've been riding the Bryson DeChambeau train. Listen, man, he's been top 10 at 8 of the last 9 tournaments that he's entered, so it's hard not to to continue to ride it. But I like Xander Shiffley. We get him at 28-1. I think it's a pretty good number, and I think he can finish in the top 10, top 20. I'm not saying he's going to win. I got a weird feeling Dustin Johnson's going to be in the mix after the first round as well. You can get DJ at 29-1. All right, MLS soccer. Man, this stuff has been wild. These games are going over the number. The tournament was really boring for the first couple of days, and I liked it that way. All right, maybe because I'm old. And, you know, I'm like Abe Simpson. I'm rocking on a rocking chair. You know, I don't want anything moving too fast. I loved it. I was betting on the unders. It was nice and boring and useless. These teams couldn't score. They couldn't do anything. Now, suddenly, there's like 5, 6, 7 goals a game. It's getting really crazy. And speaking of getting crazy, the Atlanta United number is really starting to fly through the roof. It was minus 188 a couple hours ago. It looks like this Atlanta game is like every gambler's like bailout special. I think everybody, like I said earlier, I'm putting 500 on this. Like, I think everybody, like every degenerate out there is like, I'm going all in on Atlanta against FC Cincinnati in the morning. FC Cincinnati lost 4-0 in this tournament already. And Atlanta was kind of flat against the New York Red Bulls. But, you know, people are writing off Atlanta. People are saying Atlanta aren't all that interested in playing in this tournament. I think they're gonna roll. They have too much pride. They're a championship caliber, championship pedigree franchise and organization. And it might not be easy, but I think they win, let's say, like 2-0. 3-1, 2-0, 3-1. I'm done with the totals. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours. Later.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.